Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Weekend. Obviously, this is, it really feels that outside, it feels like the calm before the storm. Obviously, we're hopefully everyone is all prepared, as we know a cyclone is heading our way. But, and just to let you know that Planet 104.6 FM, in case of a civil defence emergency, they will be providing updates at this stage. So everyone just keep safe. And interesting weather patterns we have. Anyway, just before we get to our first guest, a big shout out to Father Ted's Original Irish Pub. They're based at 1 Wellesley Street West in the Auckland CBD, opposite the iconic Civic Theatre. They have a selection of local craft and international draft beers on tap. Bottle beers, fine wine, good spirits, great food, and music Wednesday through to Sunday. So make Father Ted's your location to go to. Their number is 09-377-3142. Or you can email them, fatherteds@hotmail.com. Anyway, well, it is trying times out there, but we do move on, and we have to, because we hope we can entertain you. Anyway, here to join us, former All Black, AJ Whitten. G'day, AJ. How are you?
Yeah, g'day, Piggy. The calm before the storm, as they say. Lucky, we hopefully the TV, the power's on, so we can watch the rugby. good luck to everybody out there who's doing some hard yards. Look after yourself.
Yep. Especially to the people up north. They team north and Coromandel, they get an awful battery.
They do.
And of course, it's the usual. Everyone is panicking at the supermarkets. It's God, I couldn't believe
it's like
it.
Like COVID. I went in there last night, the next minute, people are buying. I'm saying, gee, but it's only going to be a day or a bit. But that's what people do. As long as my TV's going and I can watch some sport, I'll be happy.
Absolutely. Well, last night, Brumbies 14, Highlanders 10, and I have to say, obviously, Ryan Lonergan in his 100th match scored a try, had a fantastic match for the Brumbies. Tangatau looked dangerous for the Highlanders. Bit of controversy. Ben O'Keefe, obviously the sin-binning of Henry Bell. It's a bit of a, obviously this debate comes up again. When is it a yellow or should that just be purely a referee's decision on the spot? Ben O'Keefe's getting a lot of stick, and technically it is the rules, but, AJ, there was no intention on what Henry Bell done.
Yeah, look, it's always a sticky one. You've got IRB, and of course, it's all the footprint is about it. Look, it's a penalty or it's a yellow card. Any contact with the head, someone bozo at times. I know the TMO's got a role to play, but jeepers, common sense does prevail. There was no malice, no intent. It was an accident, and you've got to, sometimes say, ref, yeah, look, you know what? It was an accident. Because it did have an impact on the game. But sadly, they were both in it to the end, and the Highlanders couldn't put them away. Beautiful try by Nairiki, by the way.
Awesome.
But there were far and few phases in the match where it really got to that level of excitement. Both pretty methodical. We know the Brumbies play it tight, very forward pack oriented. Lonergan, played to their strengths behind the scrum at number 9 with Meredith, and as I say, that incident just gave them the opportunity, and we knew they were going to score. Well, it felt like it, and Rima took the chance, and they came away with 4 hard-earned points, and certainly not the Brumbies of the past. I think they've struggled, and the Highlanders just goes to show you, after their brilliant start, they are starting to battle to get some W's in their column, and they've got to start getting those wins, those close matches, because they could see themselves out of the top 6 very quickly. Well, they are, but struggling to get back in.
Yeah, with the Brumbies, they just do not go away.
No. They stick to their knitting, and at times it gets a bit stoic, but they know how to play winning football when it comes to those crunch moments, and they'll be happy on the plane, go back home, with a pretty strong at home and grabbed the 4 points, beating another Kiwi. I think, is that the third or fourth team?
They beat the Crusaders, Chiefs, and who else have they?
And the Blues.
Blues in the last seconds.
So they've beaten the four of the side, so well done to them.
Anyway, we move on to Saturday, and we started off 2:05, Moana Pacifica versus the Chiefs. Obviously, this game was supposed to be in Tonga, but there wasn't enough money to host this, so this moves down to, I think it's Pukekohe. And to be honest with you, I really, you know, I'm a bit concerned about Moana at the moment, AJ. Not only on the field, but I'm hearing some rumblings off the field, which I probably may have been led into a few little secrets, which I can't reveal at this time, may reveal at the end of the show. But you have to say Chiefs all the way on this one.
Oh, yeah, John O'Gibbs, he's made 6 or 7 changes, a couple of through to wins. I see that Sam Waters be captaining the side. I think he is captaining the side, isn't he? No, Tuaba, he's captaining the side. So, look, I think they're pretty solid all around. D-Max back, it'd be good to see what he offers there with Quentin Tupai, of course, very solid midfield. Carter's on the wing there. So they just need some quality ball, and they've got quality backs, and they should finish quite comfortably, as you mentioned, in the changing sheds. There may be some secrets, but obviously Moana Pacifica in some trouble. They're languishing at the bottom of the table and some heavy wins against them. And with Tana leaving, obviously that probably impacts as well. So Nico Jones on the flank there. Hopefully he can add some grunt to the team, but it's just Chiefs all over. And are they playing at Rotorua? Possibly?
I think it is a correction, Rotorua.
At Rotorua. So hopefully the crowd gets out there to support them, and we have a pretty entertaining game, but it'll be Chiefs through and through, and it's just there for the taking. It's just about the matter of points.
Fiji and Drua versus a Western Force. Well, when you're playing the Drua in Fiji, you know, you back them 9 times out of 10, AJ. Even though the Force, they had a good win over the Reds, which I picked, by the way, mate. I'll remind you of that fact.
I got that one wrong, yeah. You did. No, look, you do pick them and they're playing at Motoki, but I've been burned by Fiji in the last couple of ones. You know what? I'm going to go with the Force. I think they're a better side than where they are on the points table. They've had 2 wins, same as Fiji Drua. But they're a team that, to me, at times just show that they've got some grit. If they get it together, they show some quality. They've got some good players out wide. I just think they're a bit more rounded team this year, and I just like the look of them, even though they're playing away from home at La Toka, and they travel a lot. The Force, they're used to travelling, packing their bags, and going long distances from Perth. So a trip to Fiji, that doesn't worry me distance wise. They've got some good players on the side, on the wingers there, and Peach and Bridge, and if they can just get some really solid ball and don't turn it over. I think they just might come out on trumps against this one, and looking forward to it, because it's always exciting when the Fijians are playing at home.
Absolutely. And of course this one, the big one, 7:05 tonight, Henry Stadium, Wellington, Hurricanes versus the Blues. Now this becomes, them two are the form teams in Super Rugby. Everyone can say, what about the Brumbies, what about the Crusaders, but they are the form teams, and the Hurricanes definitely are the form teams. It's going to be an interesting match. Really, when I look at this, AJ, the Hurricanes loose forward pack, they've probably got a big advantage over this very young Blues loose forward pack.
Yeah, I see the you did right, the top two teams, so certainly they deserve the attention they're getting. I see Craig Lalu, he's managed to keep most of his side intact, a couple of changes due to injury. And I think that's consistency. That shows you they're very comfortable where they are, not only physically but mentally as a squad. So the less changes, the better to get that consistency. Obviously, Roy Garden, Love, Barrett, Proctor, not a bad back line. And I see Harkins come back in from injury, so Milby's gone to the wing for them, and Fiona and Gunnar Nothal on the wing. So look dangerous with ball in hand. You mentioned the loose forwards there. Flanders is playing some really good rugby at six. Dearns, the boy from Japan, having a season here. He's going from strength to strength. So, yep, looking forward to this one. I backed the Hurricanes at home. I know Sam Derry, of course, he's captaining. They've got a very, as you said, a young back row, but Cigna being there a while. I see Shea Clark's coming at six. Christy and Barrett there. So, yeah, looking forward to it. And with Zane Sullivan at fullback for the Blues, looks for some exciting inclusion in the back line because he's dangerous if he's got some space.
Absolutely. And, of course, then we end up and with the Reds playing the Crusaders in Brisbane. No Will Jordan, no Cody Taylor. David Harvilli is back, but this one, I think this one is a tough one to call. I'm actually going to favour the Reds in this one, AJ.
Cool. Well, we're actually going against the grain here because I'm picking the Crusaders. Even though the change do make it a lot more closer than I thought. Obviously, Cody Taylor, you mentioned, is not there, and I see Enor's out, and you mentioned Bill Jordan. So that certainly does make a difference. I think it makes it a bit closer. But playing away, I think the Crusaders now just need to get two, three matches in a row. They showed it last weekend when they played their last match at Apollo Stadium. So a different hype away from home playing the Reds. But looking forward to them just solidifying their position and get that consistency. Hoffman's got the number 9 jersey. And Harvilli back there at number 12, no doubt he'll bring his leadership skills. So, yeah, look, it's a close one, but I'm going to pick the Crusaders, my friend.
And, of course, tomorrow the Black Ferns will take on the USA. Whitney Hansen, the start of the Hansen era for them. And I'd like to wish them all the best of luck, AJ.
Yeah, no, it'll be good. Sort of gone a bit under the radar, but I hear she's got 9 debutants. So she's the spotlight will probably be more on her as well as just the player for her first match. She's certainly got the pedigree and the knowledge.
Oh, God, yeah.
So rugby obviously goes pretty strong in that family. So, yeah, you'd expect them to be too good. But excitement with the debutants. I wish them all the very best of their first matches. Exciting times to put on the black jersey for the first time. So good luck to them.
Yeah, and this has just snuck up on us, AJ. It just has snuck up, and we didn't kind of expect it. But I thought, God, we've got the Black Ferns playing. I just saw it on my phone, so I thought, damn, well, we've got to say something. But good luck to Whitney and the Ferns, and hopefully you can have a good win. Anyway, AJ, mate, obviously we've got a big storm heading our way. Mm-hmm. We hope it brushes over, but the day's planned for you. Hopefully you've been doing the garden and clearing the gutters.
Yeah, Mrs. Wheaton's pretty organised. Did the lawns last night. Went up there, got a few groceries put in.
You didn't get the fish and chips, did you?
No. She's a very good cook, as my wife. She's by the size of me, and it looks like you've had a few grazers on the side as well. We're all set to go. We'll be safe and sound here, and to the gang out there, Fenton Little and her, Marlo, they'll all be listening in and watching.
And listening to the radio today. Don't forget to.
Yeah. And on O'Malley, so they'll all be sitting down watching the footy tonight, mate. So good luck to them all, and be safe out there, eh?
It's
going to be a challenging day tomorrow.
It certainly is going to be a challenging day tomorrow, AJ. Well, I was told, by one of our listeners to actually up my game because to be on form, and I hope I have been on form today.
Right, you're just about peaking. It's only taken you 56 years, but you'll get there.
Thank you very much. And always, it's always wonderful. The insults are always great. Anyway, you take care, AJ. Have a fantastic weekend. Cheers. That was former All Black AJ Wheaton. So next up, we're just going to have a quick chat. We're going to do our club rugby, regional rugby wrap with Stephen Harris.
forget your family, yeah. Don't forget your roots, my friend. The ones who made you, the ones who brought you here. Don't forget your roots, my friend. Don't forget your family, yeah. Don't forget your roots, my friend, yeah. Oh, yeah. So Johnny was a good man, armed with the power of his homeland. Place tight, a ticket in his head, never to return home again. So he lost what he knows and what all is right for a broken world and a world of lies. But the days were numbered, relationships suffered. He lost the faith of all those who matter. So don't forget your roots, my friend. Don't forget your family, yeah. Don't forget your roots, my friend. The ones who made you, the ones who brought you here. Don't forget your roots, my friend. Don't forget your family, yeah. Don't forget your roots, my friend, yeah. Oh, so Jesse thought that she was all that.
Welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekend here on Planet FM. A bit of a 660, I mean pre-60 for my mate Bill out there in Mungaree Bridge. Hope you're enjoying the show, Bill, and I'm on form. Anyway, this segment of the Regional Club Rugby Wrap is brought to you by Force Electrical. Force Electrical was started in 2014 by Nick Brakovich and has grown to be a trusted name across the wider region. And the reason you should choose them is reliability and knowledge that sets them apart. They stay ahead of the latest industry standards and technology. What they do, well, basically no job too big, too small. Residential and commercial. They do ongoing electrical maintenance, solar panel systems with inverters, battery storage and ELV solution. So, yeah, for all your electrical needs, give Force Electrical a call at on 021-628-341 or email nick at forceelectrical.co.nz. Anyway, let's get into it. Our Regional Rugby Club Rugby Wrap. Stephen Harris, how are you, mate?
Very good, thank you, Amon. Always a privilege and a pleasure to be on your show, and a little bit like everybody in the 09 and area and further north, we're a little bit nervy, shall we say, and just keeping an eye on the weather.
Absolutely, and of course, and we definitely are. So anyway, we're going to kick it off with Northland Rugby Club Rugby, Horror Horror versus Carmo, Kerry Kerry versus Western Sharks.
Yeah, that game is pretty much the game of the round, isn't it? That Carmo versus Horror Horror, probably the game to watch. You've got basically fourth versus fifth, so whoever wins this game will probably sneak into the top four, should I say, or Carmo actually sitting in third place, begging your pardon, but Horror Horror, an opportunity to jump in front. You know what, I'm actually going to go for Horror Horror. They lost their very first game of the round, 60-odd nil, but I think they'll actually do the business, even though they're playing at Carmo today. I know they've got some very good young players out of Whangarei Boys High, and those kids are making every post a winner.
Kerry Kerry versus Western Sharks. Yeah, you probably would have to go for Sharks on this one, Stephen, even though they're away.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one. Sharks are possibly finding your feet. You're possibly right, but from what I believe, Kerry Kerry have got a very good young front row. But you know, we all both know that front rowers don't put in a full 80 minutes these days. And you know, I think Western Sharks are probably one of those sides. They're more than capable of bouncing back. So I'll probably go along with you.
Okay, so we've got Hikarangi Welsh versus Welshford, Old Boys Marist versus Otamatea, and Mid Northern versus Ngāti Hene Mariwa. So Hikarangi versus Welshford, you'd have to go for Hikarangi on this one, Stephen.
Yeah, I think so. At home, Welshford always have issues when they have to travel away. They usually have unavailabilities, and Hikarangi are just starting to find their feet. They look like they're a strong side on deck today. I'm picking them to win at home.
Anyway, OBM versus Otamatea, you'd have to say OBM all the way there, mate.
Yeah, OBM will be far too strong for Otamatea, who are just finding it a bit tough up in the big league.
Anyway, and of course, Mid-Northern versus Ngāti Hine Moriwa. This is a good game, but Mid-Northern are already, they're kind of like what? They're the best team in this competition by a country mile.
Oh, 100%. I think they're already putting on something like over 50 points a game. They're stacked with academy players. You know, the worst thing about it, they haven't even got their super players, about four or five of them that they can, plus New Zealand secondary school, New Zealand sevens players, the Rush brothers. So they're missing about five guys they can call on, but they'll be far too strong for near neighbours, United Kalakaua Moriwa.
Anyway, we go down the highway to the North Harbour Union. We started off Helensville versus Maharangi, and then we have Northcote versus Silverdale. Helensville versus Maharangi. Helensville really gave Takapuna a run for their money, and you know what? I'm gonna pick an upset. I'm gonna go for Helensville on this one.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think man, Helensville, isn't this a good story? Knowing that they didn't have a team two or three seasons ago, and then all of a sudden they're basically, here they are, basically going into this game as favourites. And of course, Mahurangi last week had unavailabilities. I do believe they've got a player, and I do apologise, he's playing his 100th game today, so I don't know if that'll be enough to help them, to be brutally honest. It's from what I believe, it's 100th game for Lloyd Gravett, who's playing his 100th game, and Ruamima Te Kuku, who's playing his 40th game. So I think that might be a blazer game. So good luck to those two fellows today, but that won't be enough for them.
Anyway, we go Northcote versus Silverdale. Northcote pretty had a bit of a scare against Kumu. Silverdale, you know, this one could be a lot closer, but you'd have to say the boys at Harvey Wright Fields win this one.
Yeah, home ground advantage. I think you'll probably have to go for Northcote on the day.
And of course, then we've got two real crackers here. East Coast Bays versus Massey, Takapuna versus North Shore. The first one, East Coast Bays versus Massey. Massey really are a form team at the moment. They've got a hell of a good front row. East Coast Bays, when you go to Windsor Park, you can't be guaranteed of coming away with anything. I'm going to go for a Massey win here today, Steve.
Yeah, no, I've got to agree with you. Matt Howling has got those boys going really, really well, and fair to say they've recruited really well. I say that with my tongue firmly in my cheek, knowing that we lost a couple from Waitemata. I think you lost a couple from Eden, and I think there's a couple of Ponsonby boys. But hey, listen, at the end of the day, nobody holds a gun to these guys' heads.
They
go to the club that they want to go to, where they feel they can sort of progress themselves maybe into a higher level of rugby. So, you know, so Massey are a strong side. I've seen both of these teams play this year, and I think Massey are a good 10 to 15 points better side.
Absolutely. So then Takapuna versus North Shore. North Shore have been the perennial champions in North Harbour rugby, but Takapuna, they seem to have something there. My old mate Marty Banks is involved in the coaching there with Paul Feeney. So, you know, I think this is a tough one to call. I'm going to go for a Takapuna win today.
Well, you know, you and I agree on most things in life, but on this particular occasion, I am tempted to go with North Shore, although I believe North Shore have four players making their premier debut today. So good luck to those players. So maybe they're not going to be as strong on paper as we originally see. You've still got some decent players there. I can see Oscar Collar, who's played for Harbour at 10, Howell, who's played for Harbour, he'll be playing at 15. Still a reasonable side, but you know what, I'll go the other way. I'll go for North Shore on this day, even though they're playing away.
Absolutely. So then we go to Counties Manukau. Now we've got four games. So the first one, Pukekohe versus Mangarewa. This one is a tough one to pick. And then we've also got Bombay versus Papakura, Patamahoe versus Waymath, and the big one, Ardmore Marist versus Karaka. Well, we might as well go to the easier ones. Bombay should beat Papakura. Patamahoe should beat Weymouth. The big concern is how much points do these two teams leak?
Yeah, exactly. It's tough for those sides. I suppose, you know, from their people who support them, and it's great to see them back in this division of rugby. Great to see eight teams as opposed to the six teams we've seen in recent years. But I think they will struggle today. It'll just be a case of limiting the damage.
Okay, so then we go Pukekohe versus Mangarewa. Real tough one. Pukekohe had a loss first up, but this one here, this one's really tough to call. I'm just going to edge it to Pukekohe at this stage over Mangarewa.
Yeah, interesting. One sitting in first place, the other team sitting in fifth place at the moment. It is in Pukekohe today, but I'm hearing good things about Manurewa, so I'm going to go with the visitors on this occasion.
Okay, this one, Ardmore Marist versus Karaka. Karaka have been the best team in the Counties Manukau Union for a very long time. Ardmore seem to be back to the old Ardmore. This one here is a tough one. I am going to go for an upset. I'm going to go for an Ardmore win.
Yeah, you could be. Listen, during the week at Waitemata training, we were lucky to have Sila Porfisi, who played for Tonga, just come and help our boys out with the scrum this week. He had a bit of a night off from training. He said they could be in for a bit of a tough battle this weekend. The challenge for Karaka is to mentally get themselves up, because they had that very good win against Patamahoe last weekend. So that's going to be the challenge for his charges today, is to get themselves up. And you know what? I'm going to go with Ardmore Marist as well.
Absolutely. So then we go on. It's the start of the Auckland Women's Premier competition. So we started off with College Rifles versus Ponsonby, Marist versus Mangarewa, Silverdale versus Papatoa. So the first one, that one's a tough one to pick, because obviously Ponsonby will have a few players away with the Black Ferns and Rifles. Well, it could be an opportunity, but you cannot back against the Ponies, can you?
No, I'll probably have to go go for Ponies on this occasion, although you never know what you get at this time of the year. You know, first round players unavailable, you're not too sure what sort of pre-seasons these teams have basically had. But yeah, you're right, hard to go past Ponies.
Marist versus Mangarewa. Marist always there or thereabouts. I think they're going to be too good for Rewa today.
Yeah, listen, Manurewa always put out a decent women's team, but if that's been played at Marist's home ground today, I think that game is our game's been pulled forward. Of course, Waitemata playing in the Premier Men's playing Marist today, and I think that game is actually the main game at 3 o'clock this afternoon, Amon.
Oh, that's great.
Out of Tamaki Reserve.
And, of course, then we've got Silverdale versus Papatoa. Well, I'd have to go for Papatoa on this one.
Yeah, where is this one being played, Amon, just out of interest?
I think it's been played at Silverdale.
Well, yeah, you never know with that travel up, but just based on this one, we can only really go on based on what we've seen in previous years, and whilst Papatoa are having their issues, as we know, with different grades, I think their
woman
will bring them home today.
I think so too. And then, of course, we've got the ARU Cup, and, of course, Of course. Then first up, it is your mob, Waitemata, going out to Mount Wellington Domain to take on Marist. Say hello to Mr. Hicklin for me, by the way. And I'm we're just going to wish both of those teams all the best of luck. And then, of course, at Gribblehurst Park, we have Eden versus Ponsonby. So that is for the plate final for the 5th and 6th. And then we've got G-Tech versus Pakuranga for 3rd and 4th. I don't want to sound biased, but, you know, I hope it's a nil-all draw. And College Rifles, who really look brilliant at the moment, from what you told me last week, take on University. So I just want to wish both Waitemata, or the first lot of teams, I want to wish them all the best of luck. I'm hoping that, you know, obviously for you, Stephen, you're the manager of Waitemata, and you're really hoping that you guys can put on a good performance.
Absolutely. Listen, it'd be remiss of me not to mention last weekend's game. Congratulations to Eden. You know, just having that experience in the right places, but more importantly, a confidence boosting win for them. You know, with about 15 to go, there was only a couple of tries in it. But you know, when you are a young side, you get punished, and that's exactly what Eden did. And you know what? I think they'll understand that the game against Ponsonby today will be a step up. Will be a step up for them, as it will for Waitemata today. If I'm totally honest, I think we might be pushing it uphill a little bit today, but we'll see how we go. I think for your boys, I think you're a real chance against Ponsonby. I think you probably gained a little bit of confidence. So I'm wishing you guys well, mate. I'll be bloody rapt if you can do the job.
Yep.
Possibly friends out there. Grandma, I think might be too strong
for Pakuranga. Yeah, I think so too.
For Pakuranga, and boy, I'm picking College Rifles. They look like a bit of a team on a mission at the moment, eh? But I guess you never discount the students. Where is that one being played? Just out of interest,
that's being played at College Rifles.
Yeah, listen, home ground advantage. Great way to start the season. Boy, if you're listening to this show and you're in that area, get out to watch that game, because the young boy playing at fullback, Jacob McKinnon, I think he's something special. Of course, they're going to be missing King Maxwell, who I believe has joined the New Zealand Sevens program today. He's another good young player. But boy, watch out for this fullback, Jacob McKinnon, ex Glendowie College. You know, not a big rugby school out there, but this kid is an absolute athlete. And I know that you're hoping that Auckland rates him, because if they don't, he'll be picked up by somebody else, no question.
Absolutely, Stephen. Well, you have a wonderful day, and we've got no doubt if we can try. Obviously, the competition starts next week, so we'll be in touch during the week, mate.
Oh, absolutely, and club rugby, man, it's you just can't beat it. It really is the heartbeat of our game, especially here in Auckland, and it basically needs a lot of support.
And I'm going to be down after I finish the show. I'm down and watching my lizards. Then I'm going to watch our prems. I'm going to be selling a few raffles. You know, obviously being myself, telling a few lies and a few tall stories.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. And listen, I'm just finally getting back to myself, getting back into the club this year. It sort of took me a couple of weeks to find my feet, but now that I'm back into it and getting to know the players, and boy, we're a young squad. There's a bit of excitement as well where this could go. Maybe not in 2026, but definitely to 2027. And for our club, it's very important that we hold our first division status. That's the real big thing for this West Auckland club. We should be better than where we are at the moment, but we've got some good people around at the moment, which is a good thing, which is what every club needs.
Absolutely. Stephen, have a great weekend, mate.
Awesome, mate.
Cheers. Thanks. That was Stephen Harris, and So, obviously, we always cover the club rugby. The Auckland Premier Club Rugby season starts next week, so we'll be covering that, along with all the other regions as well, too. So, next up, we're going to speak to Joey Green as we speak a bit of rugby league. Welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekend. And before we go any further, a big shout out to WaterSmart. They are they're the sponsors for this segment, so let's get to. So, weekend mission sorted, mate. Wash the car, rinse the boat, clean the bait station, keep the wife's tomatoes happy, all with a WaterSmart tank. No water restrictions, no worries. Different sizes to suit your property. Check out watersmart.co.nz and take control today. Anyway, and it's a big welcome to Joey Green as we get ready for another round of NRL.
Yeah, I tell you what, mate, the last night's games are anything to go off, and you know it's going to be another cracker weekend of NRL footy to look forward to.
Absolutely, but before we rip into the games that have been played, Warriors versus Storm, no Adam Pompey, no chance Nicol Kopsap. This game, Warriors, they haven't had a good, in recent times, have not had a good run in Melbourne. Melbourne coming off a bit of a hiding to Penrith, and of course they'll be hurting, and Craig Bellamy will be hurting. Both sides are probably under pressure. You know, they both want to win. I'm going to be very interested in the guy I'm going to be looking at, especially on the edges for the Storm, is Joe Chan, who I think is going to be a bolter for the Kiwis.
Yeah, you're definitely right. Joe Chan is making the most of some unfortunate circumstances with Ali Kartua being out for the year. He's really taken that right second row spot to his own, and found himself starting week in, week out. The Warriors defensively, last weekend they were just a little bit all over the place. They weren't getting up off their line. They weren't putting enough pressure on the Cronulla attacking shape, and we know how class that Cronulla back line can be when they've got the space to do that. And Melbourne have that same potential as well. You give Harry Grant, Jerome Hughes, Cameron Munster, enough time on the ball to make credible decisions. They're going to make the Warriors pay. You've got Suafa Alongawa, fullback as well, has probably the most attacking upside that we're seeing at the moment in the NRL. Defensively, Fa Alongawa does have his issues, but you give him the ball and you give him space, he's going to make you pay for it. The Warriors aren't too far off, the rest of the competition, though. They're still sitting in the top eight at the moment. Chanel Harris-Tavita comes back into the side. We saw across the first three rounds how well, him and Tanner Boyd were combining. Yep, there's a couple of players out, and Adam Pompey, I'm going to be honest, it's probably a very controversial decision to give him 2 weeks, but, that's why I'm talking about it at the moment and not being paid full-time to be in the NRL system. Charles Nicol Klokstad ruled out last night, so Leka Halasima at the moment is named in the centres. I'm expecting that's probably going to change. We might see Roger Tuivasa-Sheck line up at left centre this afternoon and possibly see a club debut for Khan Pereira. He's been carving up the New South Wales Cup, and it's pretty much going to be told, you know, once that New South Wales Cup game starts at, you know, 6:45 tonight, if we don't see Khan Pereira line up on that, then we can sure as anything expect him to be in the Warriors 19-man squad one way or another.
Yep. Absolutely, and obviously, wow, Thursday night, I didn't see this coming. At Bulldogs 32, Panthers 16, it's kind of like half the Bulldogs played for the Panthers in the past, but Viliame Kikau was just outstanding. Tupanua Preston, brilliant, and of course, for the Panthers, Jenkins can't stop scoring.
Yeah, well, I don't think any punters would have seen this result coming, to be fair, and especially how dominant the Bulldogs done it too. Jacob Preston and Lockie Gavin put Blaise Talangi in an absolute world of pain. You know, on that Panthers left edge, they just send traffic at him all night, and like any good coaches would, if you know you've got, you know, a pretty poor defender on an edge, you're just going to send opportunity after opportunity at him, and eventually he's going to break. And you know, Jacob Preston broke through a couple of times, managed to put points on the board. Like we touched on last week as well, Satili Tupaniwa coming off the bench was massive for the Bulldogs. You know, just the tempo he brings, it's, you know, similar to the tempo that Dimitri Kwamonga can bring to the Warriors side as well. But credit to the Bulldogs, they really just wanted it more. And yep, like the Panthers went 5-0 to start the season. It doesn't mean that, you know, the Panthers dynasty is all over after one loss. You know, we've still seen, you know, them go 5-1 to start the season and go on to win a comp. So I don't think Panthers fans are going to be too worried. The Bulldogs fans are going to think they won the grand final, though, winning on Thursday night.
Yeah, well, that's been interesting. And of course, then last night, well, for Kieran Foran, he's had a good old dream start, but he had the Seagulls 28, Dragons 18. The Dragons weren't far off there, but Ruben Garrick was just outstanding. Tommy Turbo, but Damien Cook for the Dragons, very good.
Yeah, I thought there was a couple of really interesting coaching tactics from Shane Flanagan last night. Look, I thought Damien Cook, I guess he got shifted out to centre for a little bit, and then he kind of went off once Jacob Little come back on and all the outside backs started to come back on, and he didn't really come back onto the field till there was, you know, about 13-15 minutes left to play, and I thought it was just a little bit too late when you've got the spark at a dummy half that you have with Damien Cook. I thought he could have come back on a little bit earlier, but hey, they look like they had a little bit of improvement last night, the Dragons. But again, Kieran Foran, he's, you know, 2-2, and Shane Flanagan's 0-6. So who knows? You might see the coaching roller coaster, you know, find another victim come Tuesday afternoon.
Absolutely. And of course, then this game last night, a very understrength Broncos side, a lot of injuries, a lot of players out. They went down 31-35 to the Cowboys. This was a fantastic game. Look high at the end score in the try. That was brilliant.
Yeah, I think if you're a Broncos fan, you're not going to be too disheartened, you know, losing the way you did. Like, you got Tom Duffy playing at halfback. He's your third-string halfback. Corey Pakes comes off the field. Blake Moser goes on. He's, you know, third-string hooker as well. Then he goes down with HIA, so you have to bring on Josh Rogers, who's, you know, the fourth-string halfback filling in at hooker. So you got a lot of obstacles in your way, and, you know, the Cowboys really had to fight for the win last night. But credit to, you know, Todd Payton, he was, you know, very nearly a victim of that coaching roller coaster a few weeks ago, but now he's got four wins on the trot, especially against a couple of good teams like Melbourne and the Broncos last night as well. So he's starting to find a bit of form. Sonny Luke made the most of his opportunity on the field as well, with Reed Marty going down, so we'll probably see him start to fill into that 9 jersey. But Scott Drinkwater, you know, he's got the whole hand at the moment, and, you know, maybe he might be a bit of a smoky for the New South Wales Blues if he carries on this form.
Absolutely. Anyway, so we move on to the Saturday game. We've got a couple of real crackers there, Joey. Rabbitohs versus the Raiders, Sharks versus the Roosters.
Yeah, double header over in Perth. The Rabbitohs taking on Canberra. You know, the Canberra Raiders are, you know, a shadow of the form that they showed last year. You know, they've gone from minor premiers in 2025 to, you know, possibly four losses on the trot at the moment, or, you know, five losses on the trot at the moment. So they're just going to want to try and do anything and everything to get their season back on track. Like, they've got the forward pack to do it. They've got some class on the back line. Their discipline is just letting them down at the moment, and if they don't tidy it up, then, you know, similar to Mitch Moses, we might see the Raiders getting a warning from the NRL at the moment. But for the Rabbitohs, they're in a really good patch of form at the moment. Brandon Smith comes back for his first game of the season. You know, when we take a look at how they played against the Bulldogs last week, Joey Gray making the most of a full-time start at fullback, Cody Walker starting to find some really good form, combining with Talis Duncan as well. They seem to be finding a really good form, and hopefully the injuries can stay away from the Rabbitoh side, because they're going to be dangerous if they can continue on the way they do. I think they're going to run away with this game, and the Raiders are, you know, going to be looking at the whiteboard again to come the end of the weekend. The Sharks and the Roosters, yeah, like we touched on at the start, the Sharks were outstanding last week. They really made the most of the extra space that the Warriors gave them on the attacking shape, and they walked away quite comfortable winners. The Roosters got Victor Radley back this week. Spencer Lenu comes back into the side as well. They lose Billy Smith, but Hugo Savala has shown that, he's not your traditional centre, but he can do a job for you, and he's going to do a pretty good one. This is going to be an absolute cracker, and I think it's going to be tight, but I think with Victor Radley and Spencer Lenu coming back into the side, I think the Roosters might take this one.
Absolutely. And then we've got the Eels versus the Titans and the Tigers versus the Knights.
Yeah, look, the Eels and the Titans game, it's going to be a really interesting one. You know, the Eels will be a little bit devastated with how last weekend finished. Regardless of all the controversy around it, you know, the referee's got the right call, whether the Eels fans want to believe that it's wrong. Dylan Walker just left too early. There's not too much you can beat around the bush with that. So, yep, they're going to be devastated with the result, but they just can't shortcut stuff like that. So, I think heading into this Sunday, if they can keep their cool, bring the same effort that they did against the Tigers, they should be able to walk away quite comfortably over a Titan side who, they've got to start finding a bit of spark now. You know, they've got the likes of Keanu Kinney, AJ Brimson, Jaden Campbell as well. Like, they have the really talented players. You've got Tino Fasua Maliawi up the front with Hauriwaka. They've got talent, but they've just got to be able to find some consistency. And, it's not going to be an easy job against Parramatta, especially with how good Mitchell Moses, Jack Williams is lining up really good in that forward pack as well. Once Isaiah Yonge comes back into the side, he's, a whole another danger pack as well. So if they can, really make the most of the X factor, the Gold Coast Titans, I could see them walking away with a tough win this afternoon. But if Mitchell Moses fires up with Joe Ash Papali'i as well, then I think, the Parramatta side could walk away quite comfortably. Tiger taking on the Knights. Bluntly, who would have thought that, after five rounds, that this would be a top four matchup? The Tigers are riding off the back of Jock Madden's really good form at the moment. He's been massive for them since he's taken over Jerome Luai in that number six jersey. So he's, they're flying at the moment. Same with Newcastle as well. There's no Caelan Ponga, there's no Dylan Brown. I don't think anybody expected them to win without those two guys in their side. Trey Mooney's having a really good start to the season as well. Another one who's probably making the most of a full-time start. So I'm really looking forward to this game to end off the round. It's going to be, especially with a packed-out Campbelltown Stadium. For Tigers fans as well, we always know they love to turn up and pack out, whether it be Campbelltown or Leichhardt.
Oh, yeah.
If they can, pack out the stadium and, get the Tigers faithful behind them, then that's, adds another leg to the Tigers boys. And I think it's purely based off that. The Tigers love to play at home. And I think that extra home advantage is going to get them the 2 points tomorrow afternoon.
Absolutely. Wow, what's the plan for the rest of the weekend for Joey Green?
Not a whole lot, to be fair, mate. There's, Auckland Rugby League, or the Fox Memorial, rather, doesn't start until Anzac weekend, so we're kind of making the most of the free weekends, earning up the brownie points before local footy starts back, and, then we're off and away for another long season. But really looking really looking forward to local footy starting back up. There's lots of player movement, there's actually quite a lot of hype around the Fox Memorial Comp this year, so it's going to be great to see now.
Absolutely.
That we've gone back to an 18 comp. Points will be coming back into the foray, which we can touch on, in another couple of weeks when that competition starts up. Really interested to see how they can match up.
Yeah, and if anyone from Auckland Rugby League is listening, just remember, we are. This is the only sports show that gives coverage of the Fox Memorial. I'll just remind them they're at Auckland Rugby League.
100%. Would love to. If there's opportunity for all, partnership or a little bit of marketing, whatnot, whatever Auckland Rugby League can come to the table with to grow our grassroots presence on the radio waves, and the more the better.
Mate, and I'm looking forward to it. Joey, have a fantastic weekend. We will catch up with you next week. I'm looking forward to the local scene because I love the local rugby league. Take care, mate.
Awesome to be on again, mate. We'll chat again.
Chat again next week. Cheers, babe. That was Joey Green from Auckland Rugby League. Next up, we're going to talk ANZ Premiership netball. Welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekend. Well, obviously, we come to the ANZ Netball Premiership starts this weekend. A very different competition. A lot of our top tier players are applying their trade in Australia. Obviously, a different competition. Here to join us now, we all know him as the Mouth of the South, but he's a former board member of Netball New Zealand. He's heavily been involved, and Netball was involved when we used to have the Trans-Tasman competition, and does know his netball as he tells me all the time, but he's very knowledgeable. Lee Piper, good morning to you, mate.
Yes, good morning.
That would be the nicest thing I've ever said about you.
Yeah,
mate.
It pretty much is. Yeah, I thought I was on the wrong show.
Listen, this competition, when we look at the competition, obviously we see Mainland Tactics, they've basically been decimated with players going to Australia. Just about most of the franchises have lost players to the Australian competition, and the concern is the quality, but it is what it is, Lee. And I'm looking at the predictions and I look at the six-team competition and I've got my predictions, and I don't know what your prediction is as we look into this competition. I know we're only in round one.
Yeah, look, I think all of those points are really valid as we look at the whole competition as a whole. Like the most teams, including to your point, the defending champions, the Tactics, have been decimated, some less so. But yeah, I think there's a lot to kind of chat about, really, which is, how's this competition going to go? Is it going to capture the imagination? Look, to be honest with you, mate, you would hardly know that it's on. I think it's on TV2. Yep. It's underway this weekend. There's been very little publicity about it if you're not watching, mainstream TV anymore. It's going to be interesting to see what kind of crowds they get, what kind of the team's performance are. But if I had to pick it early, I think it's a three-horse walk. Personally, I think it's the Stars, the Mystics and the Steel. When I look at the quality of the teams that they've got, you look at what everybody else has got, they are, the standouts, and probably in that order, the Mystics, the Stars and the Steel.
Yeah, well, I've actually put the Mystic Steels and the Star, because I think your mob down south, I think they're in for a bit of a year, but they've, every team's been affected by by this by player losses, and they're trying their best to do what they can do to keep it going. Like, if you look at the bottom of the table, you would have to say it's a toss up between the Tactics and the Pulse.
Yeah, maybe. I think the Magic probably, again, they probably not haven't recruited as well as they potentially could. But look, I think it's when you look at it, it's to your point. You know, you're taking out those top players. You particularly around, say, the Tactics who lost. You know, the likes of Tupai, Selby, Rickett, etc. Donna Wilkins is going to have a, you know, really tough ask there, I think, and try to bring that team back together. But look, it's Mystics at Phoenix Karaka. They've got a really good midcourt with the likes of Tanya Earle and Tuiava. Catherine Hall's been impressive as well. So I think they're not too bad. And again, with the Stars, Kate Burley was a bit of a blow for them last year from an injury perspective. So look, they'll get her back. They've really upped their game in terms of their shooting circle, which was quite hard last year for them. And they picked up Amelia Walmsley, and in fact, they've got two big tall shooters down that end as well. So they're going to be hard to beat, I reckon. So that's why I think those three teams. And the Steel, as you say, apart from losing Kate Heffernan overseas, they've picked up a couple of overseas players who were in the feeder league to the Super Netball. So, and they've got a good shooting circle as well, for Leah Dunn and Georgia Heffernan, who made the Silver Ferns. They've got a good leader and Timmy Poy. So, you know, that they're going to be kind of there or thereabouts, I would think, when the quips are cracking. But look, who knows? It's going to be a really good opportunity for quite a few players to come through into the scene, and a lot of players we won't know of. But again, it's hardly capturing the imagination of it.
It certainly is, and you know, like, the big thing is going to be crowd numbers, TV numbers. That's really going to decide where this competition is, and you know, the foreseeable future. And I'll be quite honest with you, Lee, it looks bleak.
Yeah, it does. But as I say, you know, like, it's really a really how do they capture the imagination? And I think that's been one of the problems we did chat about, I think, this last week, which is, where are they going? And I think they're going to go into this year again going, we're a bit rudderless, we're not sure where we're going. The marketing, to our point before, has been off point. The teams have got really a lot of no-names in them. There's no stars. And you can't. You take out the Jane Watsons and the Karen Burgers, the Maddie Gordons, the Kate Heffernans, the Dave Watson, who's, you know, been injured, the Tupai Selby Ricketts. You just can't take 7 or 10 of your top players out and go, well, our competition's going to be the same and we're just going to carry on as per normal. And that's the massive problem that they've got. They're trying to appoint a new chair, new board, new CEO, a new media manager. You know, like, they're in disarray. And unfortunately, they're about to go to the market and their shop window's going to be exposed, and they're far from ready for that.
And you're right, and it's kind of like, if you put it in a rugby analogy, it's kind of like taking 3 or 4 players, good players out of the Highlanders, like Fabian Holland, etc., and some good players out of each franchise, and they're playing in Europe. It doesn't have the same attraction.
Well, you saw this last night. The Highlanders' massive problem through the whole year was really exposed last night in a game they absolutely should have won. I thought they were a wee bit hard done by in terms of the...
We're talking netball here, Piper. Come on.
But my point being, you can see the impact that Holland would have had on that team, and he's not there. So it's going to be exactly the same, you know, when you look at the Tactics. They've just been decimated. You just cannot replace that kind of experience and think that you're going to be competitive. I think Maya Wilson is headed down there, I think, that'll help them. But I think, you know, you're putting in a lot of players there that are really... Well, you take out Karen Berger, you take out Jane Watson, and you take out Paris Lockatui, who's made the switch to rugby, and I think Charlie Bell was there. Well, no, she's moved there, actually. She was at the Stars last year, so she's going to team up with Hannah Glenn, who was at the Mystics. But again, not really a whole lot of new names. I think they picked up an import in Ash Farnett as well, who will be good. Eric Hunter Peterson is solid, but again, they're gonna be struggling, and that's a whole lot of new names in that side with not a lot of experience as well. And I think it's the same with the Magic. You know, they've lost Ekenazia, although she's gone to the Pulse, which will help them. But you take her out, you take out Charlie O'Brien, who's headed up to the stars, and Georgia Tong, that's massive. But the loss of Ekenasio for the Magic really means that Xavier Tui will have to step up, and I'm just not sure that she's of international quality that's going to make much difference for them. So when you go through the teams like that and you have a look at where they're at, you know, I think, to my point before, I think with Mila Buchanan at the Stars, who's going well, they've added in Claire O'Brien, as I just said, from the Magic, so that'll help their midcourt. They've picked up Martina Salmon and Amelia Walmsley. They're good. So they look really good as well. And Greer Sinclair and Kate Burley, you know, Stars, Mystics, pretty good. But, you know, you go through the teams like that, again, not a lot of Stars. A lot of players having to try and make their mark. Starting again, I'll be very interested to see what kind of crowds they get made in the first couple of weeks.
Okay, so we go to the first round, Pulse versus Magic.
Yeah, well ironically, this would be competitive, just given what I've said. I'll probably go with the Pulse in that. I think they've got Ekenasio back. I just think their shooting circle will be more consistent. So I'd probably go with the Pulse with that one.
Tactics versus Steel, you probably would have to go for the Steel on this one.
Yeah, just with all of that experience, this was the game lead-off last year as well, and the Tactics probably flexed their muscles, but they just don't have the defensive end that they've once had, and as I say, they picked up a couple of players, but I just can't see anybody getting near the Steel in this game.
And of course, in Auckland, now this is played tomorrow, it's the Stars versus the Mystics. Now, with the weather, with the cyclone heading towards Auckland and the rain warning, it's still on at this stage for tomorrow, but the Stars versus the Mystics, this one is a tough one to call and a bit of an Auckland derby.
Yeah, well, they're not playing it outside, so I think that won't affect them with the weather.
But you're talking traffic. Yeah, that's the problem, yeah. Mate. Yeah, and then roads will be shut. So who would you go for the Stars on this one?
Oh, look, this is a really good game. And as I said, you know, the Mystics, they get Phoenix Kalika back, and she's going to make a massive difference to them. And when you look at their lineup, they know how to win. They've been champions a few times. In fact, I think they were three times champions. And they're one of the favourites going into this competition. But this could be a repeat. Well, not a repeat. This could be a preview of the final. When you have a look at they have lost Danelle Wallum after just one season, but they picked up Lavi Alia, who impressed. She covered for her last year. Maya Wilson has moved to them. I'm not sure about her as a player. I'm not sure that's one of the great pickups, but she's solid. As I said before, they've got Tuiava and Taylor Earle. And then they've got Sokolov Beekson, they've got Karaka, they've got Catherine Hall, who's really was impressive for the Silver Ferns last year. So that's a pretty good side. But as I say, up against a Star side that's got two big tall timber, I'm just going to go with the Stars just based on their shooting circle. I think that's probably where their edge is. Kate Burley back and fit will give them, mean they'll pick up some ball at the back. So just on that alone, I think I might, in the derby, I might go with the Stars.
Absolutely. Well, Pipes, I have to say, fantastic as per usual. We will be in touch tomorrow, and we will catch up very, very soon.
Look forward to that. Goodbye now.
Yeah, okay. And yes, I will be buying.
Good man. Bye-bye.
That was Lee Piper. So that's the ANZ Premiership predictions and review for the first round. Next up, we speak to Seamus Martin from Between Two Bears as we speak a bit of football.
Yeah, you're always on my mind, girl. Don't you know that you're always. I remember when I first met you, I knew just what to do. I had to get to know, to get to know you right. Through the darkness, you're my light. You're always on my mind. I've been waiting so long for you. I wrote this song, girl. You don't know what you've got until your world has gone. This is why our love is strong. And girl, you got me singing with some melody. You're always on my mind, this is what you do to me. Girl, you got me singing with some harmony. Forever you're my queen, and baby girl, I'm your king.
not afraid, afraid to say the words, even if my brother's hurt because of what you made.
Welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekender. Just before we get to our next segment, if you're looking to buy, looking to sell, looking to get on that Auckland property market, well, we have the person you need to see. His name is Robert Thompson. He is in residential sales at the Epsom branch of Barford and Thompson. Robert has a lot of experience, business acumen, will endeavour to get the best result, will advise you on whether it's an investment property or whether it's your first house. He will provide you with the right information. And secondly, well, he's not a bad bloke. He's a good bloke as well too, and he's a big supporter of the show. So Robert's number is 021-737-949, or you can email him r.thompson@barfords.co.nz. Anyway, we might as well get into it. A bit of football. The big guy, my mate from Between Two Bears, Seamus Martin, good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning. How are you going today? Huge day of football, isn't it?
Mate, there's so much football going on. And, of course, obviously, well, while sports is going on, we've probably got bigger things up in our part of the world, as you're aware, Seamus.
Yeah. Well, there'll be an eye on it in Fiji, I'm sure, as well, because we've got the OFC Pro League Series 5 kicking off there later on this afternoon.
Yes, and, of course, to kick it off, Auckland FC versus South Melbourne. What a big match it is for Auckland FC, OFC Pro League team.
Yeah, very much so. Still sitting in first place after the international window. Look, this is a one versus two clash here, and South Melbourne are fighting on two fronts. They're in the OFC Pro League, but they're also in their own domestic league as well. So their resources will be stretched here, and I think they'll probably struggle against an Auckland FC side who will be well rested and have got plenty of firepower in action. The big thing for me, Eamon, in this series in Fiji is how South Island United are going to go. They're in action today against Vanuatu United. It's fifth place, sixth. They're outside the top four. And three really big games in my mind for South Island United. They've got Vanuatu today. Midweek, they play Tahiti United. And then the Solomon Kings on Friday night next week. So this is make or break for me. They sit just outside the top four, but if they can pick up maybe two wins out of three and one, I think for a lot of neutral fans will be a little bit of a disappointing introduction into this league so far. That might just get them back into that top four conversation. But at the moment, it's Auckland and South Melbourne. Buller FC have been the big movers after the last league in the Solomon Islands. And at home, Roy Krishna and the team will be hoping that they can pick up some wins. But they've got a difficult series this time. They've got South Melbourne midweek, and then they finish off against Auckland FC. So they'll be taking on the top two sides. That'll really determine where they're sitting in this competition. But I think if you take a step back, it's great to have all of these games, kicking off in the Pro League. And, you know, what I have said is a busy day, busy weekend, but it's a busy period in football as well.
Absolutely. And, of course, not only have we got the OFC Pro League, but we have our Northern League for men's and women's. And these are the games for the weekend. So Auckland FC Reserves will take on Tauranga. And I'm going to do these three at a time. Bay Olympic versus Melville. East Coast Bays versus Fencible. So looking at that one will be a very tough one to call.
Yeah, it will be. It's an earlier kickoff because, of course, the Auckland FC A-League team are in action later on, so it's a chance for the reserves to get their game done and out of the way and then head down to Go Media Stadium for that match kicking off at 5 p.m. But, Rory Fallon in charge of Auckland FC Reserves now, I think that's been a nice little boost for them. They're an experienced outfit at this Northern League level. Tauranga City have been up and down. They got boxed by my Melville United, but then turned around and rolled over the league leaders Fencible. So, really difficult one to call. I'm going to say this ends in a draw and sit on the fence and say neither of these two sides get one over the other, and it finishes on as even. In terms of that game between Bay Olympic and my mob Melville United, well, I'm going to tip my men in red to come away with an away win against Bayo. And Fencibles have been really dominant until they hit a roadblock in Tauranga City. I know you like East Coast Bays, and I'm going to go with your heart here and say East Coast Bays win at home.
Well, I know people who play for Fencibles, but I probably will go for East Coast Bays. Anyway, we have it. Then we go to the other games in the round. Auckland City FC versus Manukau. Eastern Suburbs versus Western Springs. That will be an interesting one. And Auckland United versus Birkenhead. I'll tell you what, these final two games are crackers.
Yeah, let's start with that Auckland United, Birkenhead United, because that's a, you know, that's a really mouth-watering clash. I really like the look of Auckland United this year. I think they're the real deal. I think Ben Sipola, who's come in as the coach this year, has got a few aces in his pack that he can play at different times. So I'm going to say Auckland United win that one by sheer fact of being at home against Birkenhead United. That Eastern Suburbs Western Springs game is another mouth-watering clash so early in the competition too. I think Eastern Suburbs, they only came away with a point in against Melville on Easter Monday. They look good as well. I like them at home. And really interesting to see Auckland City in the relegation zone. I know we're only four matches in, but they haven't had a strong start. They had a passing within the club. Nick Didovich, a real club stalwart. I know they'll be playing with armbands and with him and his family in their heart today, and I think they'll be too strong for Monaco, so I think they'll pick up their first win of the season.
Absolutely. So then we go to Northern League Women's, and we're going to start her off. Obviously, this might be an earlier game for you guys, for people at Gower Park. Melville versus Auckland United. Then we have Eastern Suburbs versus Fencibles. FC Tauranga Moana versus Western Springs, and Fencibles versus Ellerslie.
Yeah, look, the two games tomorrow, late mail coming in, but because of the impending weather, that Eastern Suburbs versus Fencibles and Tauranga Moana versus Western Springs, those have both been postponed. So those matches won't take place this weekend. Northern Region acting really quickly with the impending weather. Our club, Melville United, got on the phone early. We saw what was coming and requested to bring that game forward by 24 hours, and the good folks at Auckland United were obliging and played ball. So that game will kick off today. Geez, I do fear for my Melville United in that game against Auckland United. They put 13 goals on Western Springs, who are a young side. Our Melville team is a very young side as well. I fear this could be double digits. Auckland United will be far too strong for us at Melville. Learning experience for our young ones, but that'll be one-way traffic there. So a truncated NRFL Women's Premiership round due to the weather, just the one game, and Auckland United should have no problem against Melville.
Absolutely, and I think it's good work by Northern League Football. You know, they had to make a move pretty quickly. We go to the A-League, some big games over the weekend. No Women's A-League, they haven't. It's no Women's A-League for the Phoenix, as there's having a break before elimination final, but Auckland FC will take on Melbourne Victory at 5 p.m. at Go Media Stadium, and then you've got Melbourne City versus the Wellington Phoenix. So let's have a look at this first one. Auckland FC, a few injuries. Hiroki Sakai has said that he wants to finish his career here off in Auckland, which is great news. So look for something midweek, a potential long-term signing. But looking at this one becomes important to Auckland FC just to stay in that top two.
Oh, hugely important. They're 3 points behind the Newcastle Jets, still chasing. You know, they had an opportunity to close that gap to 1 point against Adelaide last week and could only come away from Adelaide, who are in third place with a point. Melbourne, of course, losing to the Wellington Phoenix. That was a famous victory for the Phoenix to get them in the, to keep them in the conversation around the top six playoffs. Melbourne are in fourth. So, you know, they're no mugs. They will be hurting after that defeat against Wellington and expect the reaction. And with a wounded Auckland FC, I see this one as a potential banana skin for the Black Knights. I'm going to say this finishes as a draw, and Auckland stay inside the top two. But it's starting to get really, really tight up there. If the Black Knights can come away with a win, that'll be a big step forward. But look, there's all to play for in this A-League men's competition, and I can't see these two teams separated. There have been times where Auckland have lifted their level when they play against better opposition, and maybe today will be one of those days. But I just see potentially with the injuries, Francis de Vries's absence, you know, maybe honours are even here.
Absolutely. And a big one in Melbourne. And last week, you know what, the Phoenix, they're not going down without a fight. We've seen a real gutsy performances by the Phoenix. I think Chris Greenacre has really added something to this Phoenix side.
Oh, look, very much so. This is their season on the line today. There's no two ways about it. They're in eighth place on 30 points. Their opponents today, Melbourne City, are in sixth place on 32 points. So if Melbourne City win this, that becomes a five-point gap that they need to try and breach with two games to go in the season, and I think that's probably a bridge too far. So it's win or bust for Chris Greenacre. He's done ever so well in turning around this team's fortunes and having them in a conversation for a top-six place in itself is an achievement. He's done more than enough to earn himself the full-time job if he wants it, and if the club are smart, I think they'll do that piece of business as soon as possible to give themselves a solid foundation to attack the finals for next season. But don't count these guys out. They've been in Melbourne all week. It was a back-against-the-wall performance against the Victory, and I would suggest they've got a really big chance of doing it again against Melbourne. It's whether they can keep that intensity and enthusiasm amongst the team and concentration, and I think Greenacre's the man that's going to instill that confidence in the team, so I'm going to pick a boil over. Wellington Phoenix beat Melbourne City and make their way into the top six by the end of the weekend. How's that for a prediction?
That is, I hope it does come true. Sapri Singh back for the Phoenix as well too. So that's big, big news for the Phoenix. It would be so good to have three of our A-League sides in playoffs, and that's men's and women's, and it's fantastic. Anyway, an important game for the Football Ferns. They have Fiji in the OFC semi-finals, plus for the World Cup. Really, for Michael Maynard and his side, obviously, they may have some concern with Fiji, but I think they're just going to be too classy for them.
I think the biggest concern is the fact that this match has been brought forward by 24 hours, to be honest with you. I think it should be straightforward. Fiji, they're not going to be a pushover. I think the fact that the game has been shifted at short notice by 24 hours for both sides will be potentially difficult. They would have had a plan in place for how they wanted today to go. Match day minus one, maybe going through their last little refinements. So they lose a training session on the park. They lose an opportunity for a little bit of continuity. But player for player, New Zealand should be too strong for Fiji. I think if they score early, you can put a line under it and the game will be done. It'll be too hard for Fiji to try and peg a lead back. But if Fiji can stay in the contest for as long as possible, that's when the pressure starts to come on for Michael Maine and the Football Ferns. But look, by rights, they should have too much strength for Fiji. It should be a pretty convincing win, and they'll march on to the final on Tuesday back up in Auckland. Who that will be against will be decided at the end of a game at 12 o'clock between Papua New Guinea and American Samoa. Papua New Guinea are traditionally the heavyweights in the women's game in Oceania. American Samoa, their very first time to get this far into the competition. They've been boosted by a number of players in the American college system that are eligible for American Samoa.
That's brilliant.
I do think the experience of Papua New Guinea will be too strong. So in my mind, it's going to be a New Zealand versus Papua New Guinea final in Auckland on Tuesday. And New Zealand should, by rights, have too much quality for Papua New Guinea and book a place at the FIFA Women's World Cup Brazil in 2027.
Anyway, we move on to EPL. Now, I know you picked this, and West Ham fans will be so happy to hear this. West Ham 4, Wolves 0. Now, Speedy, I know you're listening, and I got a comment from our dear friend Speedy that you put the curse on them in the FA Cup. So he said he was very happy the match was on the same time we were on air. So, yeah, but good win for West Ham.
Yeah, look, it was a good win for West Ham. 4-0 over Wolves. Wolves already, I dare say, relegated. You know, West Ham still in the relegation conversation, but that's a positive win for them. But there are a lot of interesting games coming up in match day 32. The one that I've ring-fenced is Sunderland versus Spurs. Uh-huh. I think if Spurs trip up in this one, who are sitting in the relegation zone in 18th, jeepers, that puts some pressure on. That's not till Monday morning.
Anyway,
that's the fixture that I put an asterisk on, and I'll be really interested by that one.
Okay, so we started off. Arsenal versus Sugar Daddy AFC Bournemouth Bill Foley's team. Brentford versus Everton. Both those sides are in line for potential European spots. Burnley versus Brighton. And Liverpool versus Fulham. Now, obviously, if people didn't realise, the win for Arsenal has guaranteed that the EPL will get five teams in the Champions League. So that's huge news. But this first one, Arsenal versus Bournemouth.
Yeah, look, one-way traffic. Arsenal are on their way to lift the title. So, look, that one for me is an easy one to pick. One of the easier ones to pick this weekend.
Do you know when you say that? Do you know when you say that? Now I'm going to get the Arsenal fans offside with them.
Hey, look, we're keeping the people entertained. We're keeping the people listening. Look, less easy to pick is Brentford-Everton. And I can't pick a winner between the two, so I'm going to say that finishes as a draw.
Yep.
Both teams in 7th and 8th. I think Brighton too strong for Burnley, and Liverpool too strong for Fulham.
Okay, we go to Monday, and it's Crystal Palace versus Newcastle. Well, this one, Sunderland versus Spurs, Nottingham Forest versus Aston Villa, and it's great to see Big Woody back on there, Chelsea versus Manchester City, and on Tuesday, the final game, Manchester United versus Leeds. So we start off Crystal Palace versus Newcastle.
I think this finishes a draw as well. I think this is the time in the Premier League where we start to see, the results condense, what's on the line, really start to come to the fore, and teams not being able to be separated. So I sit on the fence on that one. I say that finishes as a draw.
Absolutely. So then Sunderland versus Spurs.
Sunderland's home form for me this season has been very, very good. I think at the Stadium of Light, they beat Spurs and put way more pressure on Tottenham to try and fight their way out of relegation zone.
Okay, Nottingham Forest versus Aston Villa.
Well, the table says Aston Villa win this game, but I think Nottingham Forest, I'm going to pick a fairy tale. Woodsy comes off the bench, scores the winner.
Hey.
Forest win, and they lift themselves further away from the relegation zone.
Crystal Palace, Chelsea versus Manchester City.
Well, this is a huge game on paper. The run-in in terms of the final spots, Man City absolutely have to win this game if they are to try and stay in touch. They do have a game in hand against Arsenal. I think they do win this match, and they keep pressure on Arsenal, but it's starting to run out in terms of teams being able to catch Arsenal mathematically. So City have to win, and I think they will do.
Manchester United versus Leeds.
I think United are a very different, very, very different team now. They're up in third place. They're well in the Champions League conversation, and I think they're too strong for a Leeds side who are flirting with the relegation zone. It's pretty condensed down there from position 15 to 18. Any one of those four could make the drop, but I think Man United put a little bit more pressure on Leeds and win that game at Old Trafford.
Absolutely, and I must admit, yesterday I think a lot of us were very, very happy to see Chris Wood on the field for Nottingham Forest and get through the match unscathed.
Oh, look, that's right. Look, it's excellent that he is back in the conversation right at the right time as well. It's a good run-in for him to be able to get some fitness back, and let's hope he's firing on all cylinders come World Cup time.
Absolutely. Well, Seamus, you have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy the game today, and we will definitely catch up next week. And I tell you something, football is a gift that never stops giving.
Thank you very much. I hope to have a good afternoon at the football down here in Hamilton. It's not often that we get an international game, so I hope the fans vote with their feet and get along there.
Absolutely. Have a great weekend, Seamus.
All right. Thanks, mate.
Cheers. That was Seamus Martin. So next up, we're going to talk a bit about the Masters with broadcasting legend Brendan Telfer. Oh, yeah.
Gift to me, it makes me feel fine. Every little word that you say to me keeps my heart on time. Red blood flowing like a rough rapid when you are nearby. Ain't no doubt, cause it's plain to see. Set the soul fire. Something so true is what I get from you. And I hope that you'll see. Get the best of me. Something so true is what I get from you. And I hope that you see. Get the best of me. Most generous
pressure just to make it right. I hope one day that you get it back if the karma stuff is true. Here's a little song just to make a start, cause something's so true. Something so true is what I get from you. And I hope that you see get the best of me.
Welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekender here on Planet FM. And, you know, this segment is brought to you by Enterprise Recruitment. Finding the right people can be hard and many unexpected surprises. So cut those unexpected surprises by contacting Enterprise Recruitment. They will find the right candidate to suit your business needs. Contact enterprise.co.nz and find the right people. Well, the Masters, it has been brilliant. I've been keeping it, well, talking, I've been keeping an eye on the Masters, but I know one man who has been watching this, enjoying it, is broadcasting legend, golf enthusiast, golf tragic, Mr. Brendan Telfer. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Eamon. Yeah, it's been fantastic. In fact, wouldn't be surprised if you heard my scream about 20 minutes ago when Rory McIlroy holed out from about 80 feet to extend his lead to 5 shots when he was, by the look of it, going to struggle to make par, and he finishes up with a birdie, and oh my goodness, I just leapt out of the chair. I'm in my house on my own at the moment, so I had let out a fair old scream of joy. And then for good measure, he birdied the 18th.
I was just going to say, if you get a knock on the door by noise control. So,
yeah.
Just before we speak about Rory McIlroy and the leaderboard, Ryan Fox, unfortunately, a better round today, but missed out on the cut, really coming back from, obviously, that operation. So I know that Foxy will be disappointed, but, you know, he's slowly working his way back into competitive golf.
Yeah, there's a series of bad luck actually have descended upon poor old Foxy over the last month, and it happened again today. I'll sort of work backwards from here. He missed a 3-foot putt on 16, which was a par 3 at Augusta, and the pin today was right down at the bottom, not that far from the water, but it was very gettable, and I don't know how many twos I saw there this morning on this hole. It seemed everyone was getting within 5 or 6 feet of the hole. Some were getting within inches. You put the ball, your tee shot, in the middle of the green, and it just trickled gently down towards the hole. Unfortunately for Foxy, his tee shot was just a wee bit too much to the right, and it stayed up on the upper level, and he finished up 3-putting. And it was that 3-foot putt in the end that has cost him any chance of playing in the weekend, because he birdied 17 and finished at +5, and the cut was made at +4. So he was clearly, as you could understand, visibly annoyed with himself after he missed that 3-foot putt, took the ball out of the hole and just chucked it into the nearby lake and stormed off. And you can absolutely understand why. That happened, you know. I saw Rory McIlroy miss one yesterday of 3 feet. So it just is part of golf. You know, you make a slight, I suppose, mental error, assume you're going to make the putt, and it just wriggles out. But yes, I mean, it was about a month ago when he discovered he had these kidney stones, and I can tell you, as a person who's had probably 10 or 12 kidney stones in my life, they are absolutely dreadful. A urologist once told me, a surgeon, that it's the nearest that a male experiences to childbirth in terms of the pain. And since then, he's only had 2 competitive rounds of golf. He pulled out, obviously, of the tournament that he was scheduled to play in the States that week. Then he was recovering for a couple of weeks, and then he played in Texas 2 weeks ago and didn't make the cut. He had rounds, I think, of 72 and 73. Didn't play last week, I think, because he felt he needed to work more on his game, and so spent probably the week recovering and mending himself and practicing. So to go into the Masters, you know, the most important golfing week of the year for most of these guys, with only 2 competitive rounds of golf in the last month, is basically, you know, you can't say a recipe for disaster, but your chances of winning a tournament like this against the best, you know, 70 or 80 golfers in the world are virtually nil when you've only played two competitive rounds of golf in the last month. So, you know, it's been a lot of bad luck for Foxy, and he's just got to put this stuff behind him, which I'm sure he will, because mentally he's a very strong individual.
Absolutely, and it's not only Foxy that missed out. Bryson DeChambeau missed out. Cameron Smith missed out. So there were a number of big names that have actually missed out on the cut. But when we look at this, the McIlroy round, it must have been absolutely extraordinary.
Yeah, it was. He got the wobbles. I got a few text messages from one or two golfers worried about what had happened, because he seemed to be wobbling a little bit there in the middle, and Patrick Reed was making putts everywhere. He started with three birdies in the front nine. I think he birdied two, three, and four. Then he dropped a shot, and then he had to scramble to make par on a few holes. Reed, meanwhile, had cut right into his lead, and at one stage they were joint leaders of the Masters halfway through that second round. Reed had got it to six under, and Rory had got it back, well, fell back to six under. He originally went out to eight under, then had a couple of stumbles. And it seemed to me as if Reed was probably going to finish the second round leading, because he just had this momentum. But then suddenly Rory, over the last six or seven holes, I think he birdied five of the last six holes. And that saw this lead extend. Reed then bogeyed the 18th. He dropped back a shot, and so the lead now is six shots. But what I see with Rory when he plays Augusta, he has a unique knowledge of the greens of Augusta. He first played there back in his early 20s. He's now, I think, 35 or thereabouts. So he's had 15 years. He's had more experience than any of those contemporaries of his, even the likes of Scottie Scheffler, about the peculiar and eccentric behaviour of those greens. Many times at Augusta, when you're maybe 15 or 20 feet from the hole, you basically are hitting the ball on a 45-degree angle away from the hole because of all of the little dips and tilts and grades that each of the greens at Augusta possesses. They have these multi-layered greens, and you can't just hit straight for the hole. And he made a putt yesterday and another one today where he was almost at 90 degrees with the putt, and the ball then hits a little slope and then rolls down and into the hole. And he has that knowledge of every green, and it was very evident to me today and yesterday that that's what's given him the edge.
So when we look at that, obviously McIlroy has a six shot lead over Patrick Reed. Who and then obviously the next 2 days, obviously tomorrow becomes a crucial day for a lot of these golfers. Who can you see at this stage being the biggest challenger to Rory McIlroy, Brendan? Are we looking at a Patrick Lee? Justin Rose or someone like that?
Yeah, they're all in there. Tommy Fleetwood's in there as well. But Patrick Reed, remember, he won two tournaments on the DP World Tour in the Middle East before the war started there. He's playing regularly on the DP World Tour because they allow live golfers to play in their events, whereas the PGA Tours, or PGA Tour of America, doesn't allow any live golfers to play there. So Reed has had plenty of experience in tournament golf, meaningful tournament golf. That's the other important thing here. And it's improved his world ranking, but he gets into Augusta because he's a past winner. And once you've won Augusta, you can play in it every year for the rest of your life. And so he's always going to be playing on Augusta. And the form that he showed today was what I recall him displaying earlier this year in January and February in those tournaments, including against the likes of Ryan Fox and Rory McIlroy. He won tournaments against those guys earlier in the year. So he's his biggest threat, and he will be paired with Rory tomorrow. Now, I think it'll be fair to say these two guys are not bosom buddies. They've got history, going back to some Ryder Cup clashes some years ago. I wouldn't be at all surprised if over the course of the 18 holes they don't exchange a single word. That's, they're competitive and they're out, the stakes are big. But he's his biggest threat. but those other two as well. Now, a couple of other things that Rory, I'm sure, will be aware of. When he was 21 years of age, he had a four-shot lead going into the last round of Augusta, and he picked up another birdie on the front nine, and he had a lead of four or five shots at the turn. Then his game fell apart. It folded like a tent in a wind, and he had triple bogeys, double bogeys, three putts here, three putts here. He shot something like 45 on the back nine and finished with an 80, and he went from first place at the start of the round to 15th. But, I mean, he was 21, you know, let's be honest. He was a youngster, he was learning his trade still, and these greens completely kind of got to him in the end, and he just couldn't putt on them, and his game fell apart. Greg Norman is another example, which you won't want to remember. 30 years ago, God, I can't remember, can't believe it was 30 years ago, he had exactly the same situation, or similar to Rory's. He had a six-shot lead, Norman, going into the last round, and he was paired with Nick Faldo. Faldo got a couple of early birdies, put some pressure on the Shark. Shark couldn't adjust his game, kept attacking, which was always his natural game. His game fell apart, and Faldo won by about two or three shots. So that's what Augusta can do.
Yeah, and when you look at it last year, for Rory McIlroy, that was so important, that victory last year, because it extinguished all the bad memories, because he would have had that Greg Norman moniker on his shoulder, because they would have said he's going to be like another Greg Norman, maybe never wins the Masters.
Yeah, yeah. It's a lot of very good golfers struggle on Augusta greens because they're so different, that multi-layered effect, and putting can be a nightmare. And if you're not in the right frame of mind, but Rory, just as I said, he has that broad knowledge of virtually every blade of grass on every green. He knows the slopes. He knows where the breaks are. He knows, just has that extra knowledge. And his driving has been very good this week. You know, he's hitting the ball long and straight for the most part. He had a couple of bogeys today, but I think he had in the end something like seven or eight birdies, and culminating with birdies on those last two holes, that spectacular 17th hole where he chipped in from, I think, about 80-odd feet. He couldn't actually see the bottom of the hole from where he was situated because there was this grassy mound immediately in front of him. He had to chip the ball over that, and then the green sort of sloped away towards the hole. And I can remember Dottie Pepper, the commentator, saying, she said, the further this ball goes, the faster it's going to run. And so I was thinking, wow, this thing's going to go way past the hole. Then it, bang, hit the stick and dropped in. So he had a bit of luck there, but that's part of golf as well. Foxy's had bad luck this week. Rory's had a bit of good luck.
Well, we're talking about people having bad luck. Tiger Woods, his reputation must be in tatters after this latest incident, Brendan.
Well, I don't know whether it's in tatters. I mean, I've been a strong critic of Tiger and aspects of his life. But I feel sorry for him. I don't feel inclined to want to criticise him at all or to jump on the bandwagon and put the boot into him. He's clearly got problems. He seems like he's dependent on these painkillers. With all the problems he's had with his body, you can understand why he's on painkillers, and it's easy to get addicted to them, particularly in America. And he's wisely decided, I'm pleased someone close to him anyway has decided to say, forget about golf. He was going I think he was toying with the idea of playing in Augusta this year because as a past winner, as I said, he can play in it. But common sense has prevailed here that he's got to get himself into a situation where he's got to help himself and get some help. And also, you know, given his wealth, if he's asking me for some advice, I'd tell him, hire a permanent driver and stay out of the front seat of the car.
I was just saying that because, you know, when you hear about, you know, Tiger's just over 50, but many would say with all the injuries he had, especially those back injuries, they said many would say he's walking around like an 80-year-old man.
Yeah, he is. He's certainly, I wouldn't say he looks like an 80-year-old man, but
the pain is he's walking around like an 80-year-old. Yeah, well, I wouldn't call him that.
Now, when he does walk, you see him walking down a fairway, and he's been following this boy lately in tournaments, and it's almost a struggle for him to take each step, you know. And so it's only a game of golf for Tiger. It's just hitting a little white ball around a big green paddock with some trees, you know. It's not that important in the scheme of things. It's just not that essential to your life. You're 50 years of age. You should have another 30 or 40 years ahead of you. Put the golf clubs away. So I feel sorry for him. I just hope, I really hope that he this time gets the help that he needs once and for all.
Absolutely. Well, Brendan, thank you very much. I've really enjoyed your chat on the golf. It's been fantastic to listen to. I hope everything's well out your part of Auckland, and stay safe, Brendan.
Yes, it is. It's a big golfing week for me, actually, letting you into a little secret. It's my 75th birthday on Thursday. So
congratulations, Brendan.
I've organised a golf tournament for my mates, mostly from the golf club and a few family members. So I'm having my own golf tournament on Thursday.
So what's the prize money on it? Knowing that you're on a pension as well, too, Brendan.
Well, I'm pleased to say, without sounding too gross here, that JK's World of Golf, who I've had a long association with through my radio sport days, have given me thousands of dollars worth of prizes, actually, to give. In fact, I think everyone's going to get a prize. Nothing will breach the amateur status. I've had experiences with that, actually, in radio sport, where my producer once, actually out of JK's in a tournament we're playing, won a spot prize worth thousands of dollars, and some fellow down at a golf club in New Plymouth rang New Zealand Golf and said that Brendan Telfer's producer, Glenn Lama, has breached his amateur status, and so they investigated and they stripped him of his amateur status.
Absolutely,
And anyway, we kicked up a fuss at Radio Sport, and I remember getting stuck into New Zealand Golf saying this is crazy and it's absurd, and they agreed and reinstated him. But so you've got to be careful even as an amateur what you can take.
So Glenn won't be playing in the tournament.
He was going to play in it, but because I've played a lot of golf with Glenn over the years, but no, for some reason he's pulled out. He texted me and said he can't play, so I think it might work. I presume he might have some work somewhere.
I think Piper's unavailable and so's Watson, so yeah, honestly, you know. Anyway, I'll leave you to it, Brendan. I must move on. Have a fantastic weekend, mate, and take care and stay safe. Cheers.
Thank you, Eamon. Cheers.
Bye. That was Brendan Telfer. So next up, I will go to our panel, so just give me a second. Welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekend. Wow, yeah. It's going to be an interesting day tomorrow. Hopefully we're all ready and prepared for it anyway. Let's have a quick chat to, on line one, the man, the legend, and a bit of a superstar at the moment, Mark Watson. Good morning.
Not quite sure where you get that from. When you put that introduction, I was pretty confident you were referring to Sean, actually.
Well, this is what I mean. The next online, the Silver Tongue, Silver Fox, Sean Summerfield. I was listening to another station. I was hearing this absolutely magnificent voice advertising guilt traps. Mr. Summerfield, how are you, sir?
I'm good, thank you. How are you? G'day, mate.
Okay.
Hey, Mark, how are you?
Yeah, good, thanks, mate.
Yeah. Anyway, God, it feels like the calm before the storm, doesn't it, out there? Anyway, we might as well rip into it. Super Rugby. This is the big game of the weekend. It's down at Henry Stadium, the Canes versus the Blues. We will get to see how good the Canes are. The Blues have come into some form. They're winning games. I think this match has probably the best, will be hopefully the best game of the round, and I will say this, I hope Wellingtonians turn up to this game. So what's your thoughts, Mark?
Yeah, look, it's fascinating, isn't it? A lot of criticism last week over the Easter weekend, and I think deserved criticism over the lack of Super Rugby games and allowing Rugby League once again to own that landscape over 5 days. And then yet today, suddenly we got 4 games in a row, which just makes no sense to me, obviously, kicking off with Moana Pacifica and the Chiefs. Yeah, look, tonight, I hope a crowd does turn up. Wellingtonians, I don't think, have been very good at supporting live sport, mind you, and I think that's probably right around the country at the moment. But yeah, top of the table clash. I mean, you know, we all sort of want to see Reuben Love up against Beauden Barrett, don't we? I think that's probably what everyone's wanting to see. I think contrasting styles, I think the Blues, when it comes to their forwards, probably a little bit more bruising, and I think, you know, Hurricanes a little bit more athletic, perhaps. But yeah, some look really good matchups, a lot to look forward to. It's not the strongest Blues team on paper, I don't think, due to a few injuries and stuff. But yeah, weather will play a part in it. I mean, if the rain comes in and it ends up being sort of blustery and rest of it, you know, it'll come down to small margins, won't it? But yeah, we start to sort of get into the business end now, and it'll come down to very, very small margins. But I don't know, I just have a gut feeling maybe the Blues might just get it done for some reason.
Yeah. Sean?
Well, yeah, I was going to say, the score could be like that wet weather game in Dunedin last night. God. yeah, the Hurricanes, I mean, they've been demolishing teams. You know, looking for another 50-pointer, yeah, 2 50-pointers. They're out to break the record for the longest running New Zealand derbies with 6 straight wins against New Zealand teams. But the Blues also have history on their side. But history is a great thing in sport because it can be irrelevant straight away. And we'll probably talk about the Storm and Warriors and that later. But what I love is you're going to have Geordie and Beauden in opposing teams. Beauden is getting close to, you know, he won't catch Carter, but he's getting up there with his record. But like I think you said, Mark, those injuries, Papali'i and Tupuloto and Satutu, that's a big hit for the Blues. But how good that this is, a sort of a big game with two teams at the top, you know?
Yeah, and look, I think the other one I'm really interested to see, and I know he's heading offshore, but I just don't know why he's never been fashionable, and I sort of always put Ricky Riccatelli in that mix, but that is AJ Lamb. I think he's just a quality footballer. I think he's a guy who just seems to always make things happen, never seems to get the recognition. Maybe he doesn't have enough social media followers. Maybe he hasn't been married and got himself on the cover of Women's Day. I don't know why he's not fashionable when it comes to selection and stuff, but he is a quality footballer, man. And and Callum Harkin is another one. I rate that guy at fullback for the Hurricanes. I think he's another guy. Every time he gets the ball, something seems to happen with Callum Harkin, and I think he's a very, very good utility and a very, very good player as well. So, you know, we're going to obviously look at the matchups. You know, I think the Blues need to shut Cam Lugard down. I think he's probably the most influential player in New Zealand rugby at the moment.
And the other thing you talk about, you mentioned selection then. Rennie will probably be watching Barrett and Love go head-to-head.
Yeah,
look, and I think the All Blacks missed a real trick last year, and part of the reason why I was calling for Scott Robertson's head was the fact that, you know, we should have played Reuben Love at 10 against the Welsh last year. You know, he had played hardly any rugby. We played him at fullback for 51 minutes. We put we went, you know, straight back to what's his name at first, 5-8 out of the Chiefs. He played at 10, McKenzie at 10, and you go, well, we know what McKenzie's going to do at 10, and we know what Ruben Love's going to do at fullback against the understrength Welsh team. Why not take the chance? Let's see what Ruben Love can do. And that's what we've got to start doing. We've actually, you can't just pick guys, put them in the All Blacks, and then basically then not believe in them. And I think that was a mistake of the previous. And I just like the idea of Ruben Love. For me, as much as I like Beauden Barrett as a person, I think his time's done. I just want to move past Beauden Barrett. I think there's just been too many inconsistencies when he's been in that All Black jersey for me, and I think it is time to look, you know, to start looking ahead.
Yep.
Yeah, I still think he's the best impact back in the world. Impact though, not starter.
Yeah.
Absolutely, and of course, I just keep an eye out for the Blues number 8, Ramplay. Now, I think he's a one for the future. Anyway, I've been keeping track of the Masters. Wow, Rory McIlroy, a second round 65. Patrick Reed is basically chasing him. Ryan Fox, unfortunately, didn't make the cut, and he did have a bit of bad luck. But you know, six-shot lead should be, you should be able to defend that, but this is the Masters. Anything happens, Mark.
Yeah, look, I think the most compelling thing in sport, and I say this every year, is the back nine of a major championship. And that's when you realise why there's an industry called sports psychologists, because you see it all come to the fore. You see all of man's frailties all play out on the back nine of a major championship, and obviously those that come in with little expectation and go on a bit of a run. Look, you'd like to think with McIlroy, he's had enough adversity, he's got enough experience, he won it last year. Five-shot lead, let's just assume he only needs to shoot par tomorrow. There'll be a mover and a shaker somewhere in it, but will it be those guys that are currently, Patrick Reed and those guys that are currently sitting in second? Probably not. But yeah, I mean, it's one of those, you just hope for Rory it doesn't become one of those if-only moments. He doesn't join the likes of the Frenchman Vanderveld, who basically blew the Open Championship, the likes of Greg Norman. And, you know, he absolutely capitulates and he sort of gets more remembered for that rather than the victory last year. So, like, I think it is his to lose. I normally wouldn't say that halfway through a major golfing championship. Five-shot lead at Augusta. Yeah, I think he's going to be tough. In regards to Ryan Fox, and this might sound a bit harsh, I just think Ryan Fox needs to get himself a little bit fitter, is my observation with him. When I just look at the body types that now take up golf, I think he's got all the talent in the world. I'd just like to see him maybe just do a little bit more supplementary work to go alongside of his golf game.
And of course, then coming back from obviously getting some kidney stones removed, I think for Fox here, I know he'd be disappointed. Maybe he needs that couple of weeks rest to get the body right. Sean, what's been your thoughts on the Masters?
Yeah, I think the interest with McIlroy is, you know, you could say, hey, you won it last year, would there be less pressure on yourself? Because I'm with Mark completely on the whole psychological aspect of that, because in golf, effectively, you are playing against yourself and the course. That's it. But, you know, and look at the people that are lurking, and Scheffler's not out of the running either. But then, so McIlroy will, hey, nothing to worry about. But then he's, you know, there's the Grand Slam there as well. So, you know, and only five have achieved that. So there's all this other stuff going on. But what a contrast. Here we are nervous and anxious about what, for me anyway, with the supercars at Taupo with the weather. And, you know, it could not be better at Augusta. And I just love the way the whole air conditioning's playing, even when it gets hot, to keep the greens fast and firm. It's just quite incredible what goes on to make that place look like a natural wonder. That's the bit I love.
Absolutely, and you know what? This is what I think, guys. If it is probably at this stage, I know there's two rounds to go, it's McIlroy's to lose. I would keep an eye on Justin Rose in this one, guys. I think if there's going to be a smoky, it's him.
Yeah, and look, I think he is the crowd favourite. He's finished runner-up on three occasions. Everyone would love to see Justin Rose win it. I reckon Rory McIlroy, if he's going to lose, probably wouldn't have a problem losing to Justin Rose either. He just seems to be one of those really nice guys, doesn't he? I remember when he first made his mark, I think, as an amateur at the Open Championship. Yeah. And really sort of stood up, and that was always a long time ago now. So, yeah, look, but that's what makes it so compelling. And I say that across all the major championships. I mean, if you just settle in, you don't always need to be a golf fan to appreciate the back nine of a major championship, man. You want to see, you know, and I think it's a really nice lesson, because sometimes we've all got kids who play sport, and we all see the mental frailties, and we all have to sometimes, you know, we all capitulate ourselves, and sometimes it's just a nice timely reminder that even the best in the world have those same frailties, so it's actually okay sometimes.
It certainly is. Sean, Supercars and Taupo. Wow. Well, I'm just having a look at, obviously, there's going to be early starts for the inclement weather heading our way, but I'm looking at the top 10 I'm looking at the top 10. I can tell you something. There are three Kiwi names in there. Obviously, Matt Payne, Ryan Wood, and, of course, Andrade Heimgarten. But what's your thoughts on this series of the V8s?
Oh, look, it's fascinating, and obviously, you know, you got Ryan and Andre in this new Supra, which is crazy, because to the background on it, the Toyota Supra is actually effectively a BMW Z4, right? Mm. They don't actually build it anymore, but it's been made into a supercar. So it's a crazy environment, and the Camaros they race don't actually exist in the real world. So just think of it as body shapes. Forget about whether it's Toyota or Chevy or Ford. Just let's look at the drivers. Look, it could be good if it's wet. They say the Kiwis have wet feet. Ryan Wood, quickest yesterday afternoon, and he said he's looking forward to it. Matt Payne, I think, though, was in the running to be fastest yesterday, but he got into, on his last fast lap, got into some traffic at the last complex. So look out for Matt Payne. And Andre, he's done it in the wet before in the first round they had here. So if the weather comes in, he could be really good. So I'm fizzing for that. I hope one of the Kiwis, if it's Matt Payne, to hold on to it, the Jason Richards Memorial. Jason Richards was a good mate of mine and one of our awesome drivers. And I just, you know, I love to see a Kiwi win that. But isn't it amazing? They've changed the round. So 12:20, the first race, the feature race that's normally on Sunday, the 200K race, is going to happen at 3:30 this afternoon. And the third race at 9:45 tomorrow morning. They are really moving around to make it happen. So that's a crap time for Australian TV, but they're doing what they can to make it happen. So full credit to them for that.
Absolutely. And just some of your thoughts on this V8 Supercars, Mark.
Yeah, look, I guess I'm just waiting for that real next wave of great New Zealand drivers to come through and really start consistently dominating again. And I've probably lost a little bit of interest in Scotty McLaughlin and Van Gisbergen sort of up and left. And, you know, when they did dominate, and I still sort of saw it very much as Australia versus New Zealand. And I just love seeing New Zealanders do well in a sport that's so close to the Australian hearts. I'm really excited about the fact that it's going to Ruapuna next week in Christchurch. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's one of the great tracks, isn't it? And it's sort of probably been underutilised for a long time. And I'm just excited that they've got this double header. I think Australia is starting to realise how big it is over here, the market, the opportunities, the fan base. And I think that, you know, they also realise that the New Zealand drivers, not dissimilar to what the NRL are seeing now, that New Zealand drivers, you know, are a big part of the narrative in supercars. And, you know, you can try and claim them as your own, or you can try and pretend they're not, but they are. And this is no longer an Australian series, it's very much a Trans-Tasman series, and that's what I like about it.
Absolutely. Sean, just one thing. Obviously, in the last couple of weeks, we lost Murray Chandler. Now, this guy was huge when it comes to motorsport, not only in New Zealand, but the world.
Yeah, we didn't sort of realize. I mean, New Zealand were quite instrumental in some of the big things that happened, even in Formula One, with the FIA. Remember, the FIA is not just Formula One and rally. FIA is the parent organisation for the AA in New Zealand and the RA. Every driver in the world is basically looked after by the FIA. So just keep that in mind. And Murray was too IC for this. Now, not as high profile as FIFA, but he got there and he was a driver at a natural bent for the admin side of it. And he was incredible. He kept the Rally New Zealand coming here. If it wasn't him, I wouldn't have come here. But just a lovely bloke. And to sum him up, he used to go to Paris for a meeting and go to the meeting and then fly back that night. And he said, I don't need a motel. I can sleep on the plane. Then he'd come back and take up his job again, his business.
Yep.
He was old school.
Absolutely, and it's a shame because, you know, I met Murray once with a friend of mine. It was actually David Waugh's son, Richard, actually, at a rugby game in Hamilton. Hell of a good rooster. Hey, just quickly, Warriors this weekend against the Storm. Oh, I don't know. As soon as we win three games and everyone says it's our year, we go back to the normal stuff.
Yeah, we've lost 17 in a row, I think, to them. I think I was reading, or might have been 17 times away. I'm not sure which, but you know, it's a Melbourne Storm team that are probably, you know, you've always been waiting for the bubble to burst. I used to say there's three things in life that assure death, taxes, and the Storm making the grand final, and it's been pretty much like that. I was there at the 99 grand final when they won their first against St George. I was sort of working for Nike at the time. I got flown over, and so I was there when they won their first, and you know, they've managed to maintain pretty much a monopoly, or not a monopoly, but you know, they've been right at the point again for 20 odd years, and I just wonder whether maybe for the first time we're starting to see that bubble burst a little bit. But in saying that, I still don't have a lot of faith tonight. We just seem to, I don't know, suddenly our defence out wide just seems to fall apart. The same players seem to get picked every week. We seem to want to continue to give them the same opportunities. I still think this, in all seriousness, is a very, very good Warriors team, to be honest. I do. I think we will do something special. But there is a part of me too that's always been concerned. You do not win the NRL in March, April, May, June and July. You want to really start hitting, well, sort of July, you're starting to sort of hit your straps a little bit more. And so it's nice to accumulate points, because when the injuries start to creep in midway, well, you know, into round 15, 16, 17, you've got a sort of enough points to ensure that you are going to get into the eight, hopefully into the four. Look, fingers crossed. I know how big the Warriors are to so many people in this country, and people who do it tough as well. They are very much the people's champion, aren't they? And for those reasons, as much as I can get a bit pessimistic and a bit cynical, I genuinely hope they can win, because I know how much joy it brings so many New Zealanders and just how big a brand they are.
Sean.
Okay, I normally don't go big on numbers, but I did on this one. 3,261 days since the Warriors last won at Amy Park, right? It's they haven't beaten them since John Key was Prime Minister, right? So it's the longest head-to-head winning streak since the NRL was formed in 1998. In all-time premiership history, it's only the sixth longest losing streak. So they're a long way off. The record, by the way, is 22 straight wins by St George against Newton, and that was in 73. So just keep that in mind. And the Storm actually have a higher winning percentage. You mentioned, Mark, and I think you summed up. They talk about dynasties in American sport. I think dynasty sums up what the Storm are well and truly, and in the way they turned up and did it. And against the South Sydney and Broncos, they've got a higher winning streak than they do against the Warriors if you go over history. So it's not as bad if you want to make it look better for the Warriors on that. But I think those numbers are just crazy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know what? I look at this Warriors side, and it's true what Mark has actually said. They are the, you know, Sean, you're a season ticket holder. They are the people's champions.
Oh, yeah. Hey, oh, and by the way, too, the Warriors are higher on the ladder than the Storm right now. And Penrith beat them 50-10. That could either be good for us or bad for us.
Hey.
And that's what I love. This NRL, let's be honest, it is a proper competition where anyone can tip anyone up. And that's why they have such a good product now. And that's why they had more games at Easter, Mark, because they get what it is to put on a show.
Yeah, I just cannot, I'll keep saying this, I think in a domestic, I just cannot see rugby recovering. I just think the horse is well and truly bolted. I think habits have changed. I think the NRL, the product, the package, I think their storytelling is authentic. They're not afraid of a bit of a scandal. They're not trying to, you know, put a PR spin and try and have everything to be perfect that rugby do. They sort of represent, I guess, the conversations that the everyday blokes having around the water cooler. You know, they don't, you know, they don't want scandals, but they doesn't seem to affect them too much at times either. And it's just such a simple product. I mean, I sat down and watched that Tigers Parramatta game, and the size of the crowd in there, you know, and then you sort of watch Moana Pacifica at sort of North Harbour Stadium, and it's basically a cemetery with chips, isn't it? You know, and it's
Hey, just one thing about rugby now. This is pure speculation. Beyond 2027, it looks as though they're one of the franchises' future doesn't look secure. I think we all know who we're speaking about here.
Yeah. Look, if we're referring to Moana Pacifica, I've always said there's no point these guys getting pumped every week and having 40 points put on them. And since their inception in 2022, they've averaged 40 points per game against them. They've lost 78% of their games. I don't think that does anyone any favours. I don't think being part of a losing team every week helps develop players. I think you're better to take the Pacific Island players and spread them out amongst all the other franchises, give them quality game time.
Yep.
And I reckon Moana Pacifica would be better situated at an NPC level, and that's where I think they should be. I would be probably slightly different on that if they played regularly up in Apia and they did actually have a home ground in the islands, which clearly they can't do or simply don't have the resource to do. But I'm very pro the Fijian Brewer. I think that's a very different model, and I think they're not necessarily going to win it, but they're going to cost teams winning it.
Okay.
And remember, this is professional sports, guys. It's not club, and we have to be real.
Absolutely. Well, guys, you know what? I want to thank both of you for your efforts. Your statistics, Mr. Summerfield, were fantastic.
it's just take this as a one-off, and I'll leave you with one quick thought, guys. I realise what league, no player or team is bigger than the sport, but in rugby, I think, unfortunately, the All Blacks and the players in the All Blacks are often bigger than the sport, might be the problem.
Absolutely. And, Mark, thank you very, very much.
Yeah. Hey, we'll call it the introduction. This time in the introduction, you're going to refer to good-looking...